All rise.
Welcome everyone back to another edition of Cleve and Me, and we are at Backlash, the first pay-per-view after WrestleMania in France at 1 Eastern, 12 Central this Saturday. Yes, 1 Eastern, 12 Central, so get ready at noon on Saturday if you're in the Central time zone like us, or 1 o'clock because it's on. And then UFC at night, even Canelo and boxing this weekend. It is a fight night type of Saturday. They will play at the LDLC Arena Backlash for the pay-per-view that holds about 16,000 fans. First time live there, so which SmackDown will also be live in France. So be ready for all that good stuff, but SmackDown will be at normal time. This is, we'll still air at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. So just like last year's Backlash, they're going for quality over quantity, it seems, with right now five matches that we'll get into in a minute here. Cleve is joining us, of course, in tone, so the three hosts are back in action. But Cleve, I do want to ask before we get into the card itself, I've seen this on Twitter some, with only five matches and a good story between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable right now, unless it gets added at the very last second on SmackDown, why do you think they would leave that championship match off? Obviously, they can put it later, but in all that. But why do you think in a match of five, they left that one off the card?
Well, first, I just want to say welcome back, all the fans. I know we've been busy with a while and stuff. But like Joe mentioned, we got a big pay-per-view coming up, Backlash, which is 2 years in a row that WWE have decided to take their talents outside the state. First one in France. Really looking forward to seeing how that goes. But back to the Sami Zayn, Chad Gable point, I think it's just too early, Joe. I think with Chad Gable just turning heel not too long ago, you want to give him time to build up that heel character and make it believable. He's been such a face for so long. Seeing a heel Chad Gable is probably going to throw fans off a bit. So allow him to build that character up. I think having him face Sami right away does no point, because what's the reason Sami knocks off Gunther to win the IC belt just to drop it a couple weeks later? That's Vince McMahon storytelling. This is now Triple H. But I did hear a possible rumor. I don't know if it will happen at Backlash, but the next pay-per-view, we possibly will get a triple threat match for the IC champion, throwing my boy Bronson Reed, another phenomenal heel talent, on Raw in that. So that's something.
He should definitely get a chance, Mr. Reed, because he has beaten Sammy and Gable both. So I could see that. And then I've also seen we're out here for wild shit, because this pay-per-view is probably going to go by the book in most cases in terms of the outcomes. So we're all ready for rumors and surprises. And, you know, I've seen Kurt Angle, spokesperson himself, to be come back and manage Gable, and have, you know, maybe you have a tag team. You know, there's a couple options you can choose from. Right now he's feuding with his own people, and you're right, it takes a dynamic, because part of me is still in the face mode of Chad Gable when he lost to Gunther. So I agree, a little more buildup would be there. You swayed me to keep that match off the card, because you do want to see more buildup. There's going to be Clash of the Castle and then Money in the Bank before we hit SummerSlam. So plenty of time to get things done on that note. So awesome, Cleve, to have us back in action. And then at the same time, we got Mr. Tampa Tones joining us. And I'm going to leave – I gave you the Sammy versus Chad question. Tones, I'll go here. Since you're a little bit more AEW, and we always get that bullshit from Cleve that I don't really watch, so I don't want to bother him.
Yeah, this is like the longest build-up ever. How we doing, folks? How are you, Tampa Tones?
Well, I wasn't here. Even sure if usually,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, while I'm back, it's like
intro. No.
Thanks.
You always want me to mention you. You always want me to. I'm giving you.
Yeah, there's no hype up, no nothing. It's like Jesus.
No hype up from Chicago.
Thank you.
6 foot. Tampa Tones.
Yeah, thank you. That was better. That we're getting there. We're getting better. I'm
gonna get right into it because Cleve was already bashing Tony Khan before we started.
Yeah. He should keep his words with LeBron right now.
I did tell him that before the show as well. Tones, he says Tony Khan is hypocritical for, you know. When Triple H came out to the ring, they were kind of throwing their jokes and stuff. Now we have Tony Khan in the middle of a story where he will be presented a lot. First off, I want to say I like this story they're building. Kenny Omega, shout out, great return last night. I wasn't a big fan of his Harvey Weinstein comment. I thought that was kind of foolish, but I thought the draft, being in the draft with the neck brace, I think that got a lot of eyes. NFL Network mentioned it a couple times, gave him an interview that led to that poor comment. But I also think the storyline on TV is working. We're finally, for the first time ever, we're finally getting like an AEW versus Elite, like Raw versus War type of feel. And I dig it. Cleve does not.
Yeah, a couple things there. You know, this is a world of wrestling. I get some people were upset about the Harvey Weinstein comment, but these people throw that type of stuff around all the time. They do it for attention. They do it for clicks. They try and get matches made out of it, and both companies are very hypocritical. Don't even get me started. You have guys by the name of Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, who I love both of these cats, but very hypocritical amongst themselves. These are guys who said they would never ever step foot back in the WWE. Where are they back in the WWE? So yeah, sure, we could call out hypocrisy amongst wrestling all day, this and that, yada yada yada, but at the end of the day, it's very prevalent in both promotions. That's just how we deal with the world of wrestling. And when we actually talk about the Tony Khan storyline, I think they turned something that started out disastrous into a pretty damn good storyline, right? This is a storyline when it got presented at first. A lot of people were like, what the hell's going on here? They thought they fumbled the bag. But here a couple weeks later, a lot of people are intrigued. Even those who have not been biggest fans or advocates of AEW in months or years past, even like the Corey Hayes of the world seem to be back intrigued in the world of AEW. So I think it's doing a good job. I think they're doing their job of getting eyes back on the product. Joey, I think you've been clamoring for 3-hour Wednesday nights for a while now. I know it's because of playoff. I know it's because of playoff hockey and basketball, but let's be honest, it was pretty enjoyable to have 3 hours of Wednesday night wrestling. Maybe they'll stick with that. So I think AEW, and let's be honest, their last pay-per-view was pretty damn good as well. I know we were in Mexico. Viva la
Heard good things.
So I think they're on the right path of rebuttaling with the world of wrestling. And once again, they know who they are. They know they're AEW. They're staying in their lane. But at the end of the day, you got to do these type of things to provide good competition, to stay relevant in that competition. That's all this is friendly banter. I know I wasn't a fan of the Harvey Weinstein comment as well, but let's be honest, it could have been a lot worse nowadays.
And I get where he was, of course, going with that. And not to sidetrack too much, thank you for bringing up the third hour, because Tones, we talked about it earlier. It was great last night how they rolled over AEW, help me out here, Dynamite.
With Dynamite!
For 8 minutes into Rampage. Then they continued Rampage, and you said it went past the 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central hour. So I'm absolutely a fan of that because it drives me crazy on late for the most part. Not last week on Raw, but when they end and they have to end right at the time. I like that spillage that continues over the hour. And then to add on to that, by the way, July 3rd in Chicago, we will be at the AEW event. I'm not always a big Tony Khan fan, but I'm with it in terms of the storyline. Cleve, do you want to oppose what Tones might have said on a couple things before? Because we do got to get our predictions in for Backlash. Oh my God, kidding.
Well, before he goes, say, because he had a light of six.
No, yeah, so you got to wait another minute now.
Hold on. I just want to add in something as well. Neck brace, I thought that was brilliant. Pat McAfee even commented on it. I mean, yeah. Pat McAfee's under WWE contract, giving kudos to the AEW headman. I mean, this is good stuff. This is back. It feels like some good kayfabe stuff from back in the day. You see both companies kind of bringing the kayfabe back more and more a little bit. So I'm a fan of it. I think for better, for worse, you know, the little bit of heatness turned up ever since Punk went to the WWE has provided better content, I will say. Not that WWE has been doing down content, but their content keeps getting better. And I think AEW is back out of their funk a little bit. I'll say it like that. So again, I think competition brings out the best in wrestling. And I think this is a case of that. Tony Khan, for better or for worse, good or bad, the man's a hell of an entertainer. I'll say that. And one last thing, his tweets will never get. I just want to say thank you to Turner Network for letting us go two minutes over the past time. You guys are great. I mean, the guy's obviously on something, but hell of a guy. Hell of a guy.
Cleve, are you going to acknowledge Tones or shoosh? Tones on that.
We're gonna shift Tones and then because Tones brings up guys like Cody and Punk, comparing them to the Tony Khan tweet where he goes, he'll never be involved like these other guys. And then a couple years later, he creates an entire storyline that's fitting him. It kind of remind me of when Vince and whatnot. I don't know, man. Tony Khan just, it's just not believable.
Oh, you loved Vince back in the day, though, when he was involved. And number two.
Such good shit.
Yeah, no, exactly. Cleve was a big Vince fan. Replay the pod. You could hear Cleve sticking up for him. Number two, how is comparing CM Punk not a fair comparison? He literally said, word for word, verbatim, hell would have to freeze over for him to go back to WWE. Cody Rhodes, same thing. Said they treated him so bad he could never see himself back in WWE. How is that moving the goalpost? It's hypocrisy. It's calling out hypocrisy.
You will never again, see me.
You don't call out other companies. You don't call out other companies.
Hold on, wait, quick question though. Punk and
are they hypocrites or no?
Can I get my point across?
Can I ask you a question quick? Are they hypocrites?
Tones, he is not having his original.
Let me ask him a question. Are they hypocrites or no?
No, but here's
my point. You're fake news. You're bullshit.
Hold on, Cleve.
I don't got to respond to him then. He's fake news. I'm not replying to this motherfucker.
I just gave you 4 minutes. Please let the
clip. Yes, but we shouldn't even let this kid have a mic. He's troublesome. He's worrisome. He's concerning. He could have his own podcast, Cleve as Me, because that's what he's talking like.
Like I said, the difference with Punk and Cody was they had history with the WWE. They ended on bad terms. So, of course, they're tweeting out feelings like that. There was no reason at all for Tony Khan to make that tweet.
They didn't even tweet it, bro.
There was no reason at all for Khan to send that
again. They didn't tweet it, they said it in words live on AEW. They didn't tweet it. So, again, you're wrong, you're just wrong.
Then he wears a neck brace on TV. We saw the video of them making fun of him, turning his head all around. Like, it's all good, Tony. You got
McAfee applauded him.
WWE publicity. That is publicity.
That's true. You got to do what you got to do to be recognized because it's been, 4 years now and still haven't seen much difference. But shout out Tony Khan for trying to sell a neck injury. But my question for Tones is why he's in the mood. I think it would be a real great idea if AEW were to link up with like Max, like how NBA TNT did, like NBA where you could watch the games on there or whatnot. I think that'd be a great way to broadcast AEW more because, I mean, they're already with Turner Network. I think Max and Turner Network have a relationship or something like that. Just something, you know, I think it'd be cool for AEW to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think AEW's done what they can with what they've had, and I think it's great they partnered with Turner, and Turner has been hungry for wrestling ever since the WCW days. Again, this is something that was started by some of the fine gentlemen of the World Wrestling Entertainment and AEW brand under this current circumstance in 24. And I think Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Tony Khan have honestly performed to expectations. But I do think they could get a little more involved with Turner. They do time to time. You see it time to time. Shaq and Charles and those guys. But yes, they could take a little more advantage, I will say that. But you do see the Jaguars get more and more involved with AEW as time goes on. So I think they could do a little bit better of using Turner Television Network as well, but we'll see where that goes. We'll see.
If, I would also be interested in if they were able to, because I would love to see how many people buy the pay-per-view versus stream it. And if there's a, and we'll never get, of course, all the real answers. There's so many illegal sites, but if I could get the number, if the number of illegal streaming is high, I would love for them to move to something where the pay-per-views are free after you subscribe, because I think that would bring more eyes even to the product. If somebody, for example, I don't want Netflix or Peacock, those are used a lot, but let's say, and those are used by WWE, but let's say they got Hulu, for example, and they signed up with Hulu. It would be awesome if a person who has Hulu just happens to stream across, oh, I'll plug in. Oh, wait, and it's free? You see that $49.99 like the UFC or other things sometimes, that might detract you away. I think it would be a great idea for them to partner with something to make the pay-per-views way more affordable.
I here's think that why, would here's why I don't think we've seen that yet, and I think their hope is to get there, right? That means you've made it. That means you're established. That means that somebody wants to be your partner and display you and all that and more. The problem for AEW right now is this. Say if there's 10 wrestling fans in a room, say if 4 or 5 of those 10, let's say on average, watch AEW, let's say the other 5 or 6 do not. So they get 4 out of 5 of those 10 only to watch your product. At the end of the day, those 4 or 5 are probably going to watch an AEW pay-per-view because they're fans no matter what, right? They're either going to pay the $40 or they're going to have the partner they stream with. Even if they lost one of those viewers due to the money, they're still going to make a lot more money at this time. Now, as time goes on, say if somehow they turn that 4 or 5 out of 10 number to 8 or 9 out of 10, then I think they're going to get into your waters, because then it's going to drift into, okay, suddenly 8 out of 9, 10 people watch it, but only 4 or 5 are going to pay that $50, whereas 8 or 9 would actually pay that $10 subscription fee. You see what I'm saying? So I think they got to build the foundation a little bit more and get a little more backing before they could even think of doing something like that.
Hurry up, get a final point in, because we got to get things moving.
I just think, like, the final point with that is just, like, you know, how, like, WWE went with Peacock. Because, you know, realistically, Peacock without WWE is just another rap. But people subscribe to Peacock because WWE's on there. So I think, like, Tone's made a good point. You don't have too many fans, but I think eventually down the road, that'd be big for them to link up with one of these streaming apps.
And we're just going to hit this. We're not giving explanations, just a grade, simple, because I have a feeling I know where it's going. And then we'll get Tones' predictions. He'll get out of here. And then Cleve and I will give ours. WWE draft grade Friday to Monday. I'll start. I'm just going to C. That's all. That's it. Letter grade, Cleve.
C.
Tones.
I'll give it a C.
Yeah, so there you go. We all thought it was mediocre. We won't add much comment to it. Luckily, there was no Fs or Ds, because that would probably have happened in past years.
And I will say, I thought Monday was more of a B and Friday was more of a D.
I agree with that. I'll give you that.
I think they should have done Monday and Friday, because I know it's a pay-per-view week or whatever, but man, that's hard. Going head-to-head with the NFL draft, you know, it's just, you're watching the NFL draft and you're watching the WWE draft, and I think they're each great when they're on their own, but you know, you're kind of watching them side by side, and you know, it's just hard to make your draft look like the NFL draft.
Yeah, and R-Truth thought he was at the NFL draft on Monday Night Raw, but it was actually the WWE draft, all jokes aside. So, Tones, we're going to get into these matches. I know you're here with us before your Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast with Gene from Buck What You Heard, J-Lo, who had been on our show.
From Miami.
Awesome. And they will be back on our show next week. We look to have the Buccaneers invade Cleve and me for sure. We're going to just get rapid fire here. Tones, you could choose to add in as you please onto these matches, but we'll start with one of your favorites. He's always in a big picture, even if it's not titled. This is the case. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton team up. I don't know if they'll create the shirt or have, but it like RKO with the Kevin Owens tape symbol and the R is like Randy. So I thought I would like to see that. That'd be pretty cool. versus the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. My question to you is, who wins, and do you expect interference from the outside?
Sadly, Kevin Owens is in the role where he's always like in a pretty good role, but never a great role. They always kind of slight him a little bit. Here he is stuck in a tag team that we know isn't going to last, but this is what you kind of, these type of matches, no knock on him, it's a great match, but these are the type of things you get at these premium live events that take place overseas. You're not going to get a lot of big title changes. You're not going to get a lot of those pretty much glorified house shows. I could see Randy Orton potentially turning on Kevin Owens, not joining the Bloodline necessarily, but you know, Randy Orton kind of beats his own drum. Then I could see Randy and KO going into a mini one-on-one feud through the next pay-per-view, which will lead eventually, in my opinion, to Randy Orton against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. That's how I see it playing out. But I think that's what happens. I mean, interference and Bloodline, that's pretty much a given at this point, right? You know, it would probably be a lot of money to bet no interference and you'd probably not win. But I'm not thinking interference. I'm thinking Randy kind of leaves Kevin at the altar. And I ultimately think it spews a mini rivalry to begin the summer between Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And I love KO. He's a man. I just always feel bad for the guy. It's like he's stuck in neutral, right? It's not like he's going backwards, but it's like he never takes the next step forward. Even when he fought Roman Reigns for his titles a couple months back, maybe a year or so ago now as time flies, but we knew he wasn't really going to win those. It feels like Kevin Owens is always in the pretty good role, awaiting to be in that very good role like he once was.
Yeah, and I know you're always critical of that. Your two boys are Miz and KO, and when I say critical, that's in a just a blank fashion. That's not negative or positive. And you like to see your guys do good. Right now, Miz does have a title, not on this card, so we won't get into that. Next matchup, Tones, for you, the another tag team match for the titles, the Kabuki Warriors, which is Asuka and Kairi Sane, versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill for the championship.
Bathroom break match. This is, and nothing against Jade and Bianca, they're great, but does anybody think they're going to lose this match? I mean, come on, this is, you know, this match is over before it starts.
You can't call that a bathroom break.
What else is on the card? Point to another match on the card that's a bathroom break, one more so than that.
I think it's the worst of the five, probably.
Exactly. So I mean, if you gotta let the weasel out of the cage, you gotta.
Cleve, what's your worst out of the five?
I think the triple threat match actually has the potential to be
okay. Tones, will go there. Becky versus Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. That's his bathroom break match. It would absolutely not be mine.
Yeah, that can't be mine at all, given how great Bayley is right now. She's a phenomenon in the ring. Nothing against
the Cleve shakes his head.
Yeah, I mean, gee, come on now.
This is about predictable as they come. You just said the same with the other match. This is so predictable. Bayley's winning.
This whole card's pretty predictable. Like I just said, it's an overseas card. It's an overseas card. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Still a bathroom break. Two bathroom breaks.
Yeah, you need two because you're going to look up the Lakers score from, you know, the finals and the Mickey Mouse bubble in the one bathroom break. But, no, if I'm going a winner here, I'm obviously going Bayley. I mean, she's on fire right now. Naomi's great, but you know, they could go the angle.
She's kind of like in that Kevin Owens role, I feel like, of always pretty good.
They might go the role eventually of them three getting belts, you know what I'm saying, for the women, but I don't think that's anytime soon. So give me, and then who's the third?
Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany time. Get him out of here.
I know
the next Money in the Bank winner.
She's beauty and brains, I get it, but let's be honest.
So, Tones, who has a better chance leading into the next match? Because I know you only got a few. Bayley in that match, and a better chance. It could be 1% versus 0, but there's still got to be one way or the other. Or Jey Uso defeating Damian Priest, who's the world heavyweight title champion.
Sheesh, oh, man. Holy. I'd say Priest has a better chance to lose if I had a guess, probably.
I would agree.
You know, because Damian Priest, let's be honest, he's an aging, he's already well over 40 years old, let's put it like that. And if anything, their storyline's more in shambles with the injured Rhea Ripley right now. I think they were going to go the dominant aspect with the banged up Rhea Ripley, whereas Bayley's storyline hasn't really been affected at all, right? So, I mean, I don't think either are going to lose, but if I had to choose one ultimately, I would go Damian Priest, as his storyline currently, with, you know, Dom Mysterio, you know, doing who knows what with Liv, the injured Rhea Ripley, they seem to be in shambles a little bit. So, you never
and
know.
And I will add on to that point that the Clash of the Castle is the pay-per-view after where we know Drew McIntyre. Well, we think Drew McIntyre is going to take that title home. So does it really matter if it's against Damian or Jay at this point? I don't see that. So I kind of am with you.
Yeah, and we'll see. I'm looking forward to the clash of, we'll call it the clash of the mat, the clash of the ring, the clash of the whoever the hell you want to call it. You know, it's going to be a fun one regardless. But, you know, they always have the one pay-per-view that changes names a little bit every year. It's starting to get hard to remember some of them. But,
well, oh my goodness, the next three overseas. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a travesty, man. I was arguing with people on Twitter the other day. You could literally do more beneficial things by putting a whole week's worth of shows overseas. Give them a Raw, give them an NXT, give them a SmackDown. You're going to sell that arena out three times the fucking amount regardless. We do not deserve this, okay? We butter these guys' breads at the end of the day. I get what you're doing. Take the money. Take the big shows. Take the contracts. Hell, AEW did the same thing, right? They went overseas for whatever the hell theirs is in. No bet, all in, no gamble, whatever the hell it is. But at the end of the day, we deserve the big-time shows, in my opinion. I'm not saying put every single one in America, right? But three in a row that are overseas? I mean, my goodness. And now you're hearing murmurs of potentially a Mania being overseas.
Oh, don't even get me started.
You know, it's getting to the point of ridiculousness, and they got to stop this bullshit now. I'm just saying that. Both promotions are guilty of it. Put your best shows here. You're going to make just as good as money if you put your smaller shows overseas. I don't mind the onesies, twosies throughout the year, but three consecutive, my Lord, absolutely fucking not.
I just think, oh, real quick, too, I just think that WWE's past the point where they're making so much, they want to keep expanding. And it does suck, because, I mean, watching the pay-per-view at 11 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the noon is quite irritating. However, you have to see it from their point of view, what they're trying to do. They're trying to
I do. It's out. A money thing. Do what the NFL does. Put a regular season game overseas. That'd be like the NFL putting playoff games overseas.
I mean, that's true, yeah, but I just feel it's more them gaining fans than generate money, because this one is only at 16,000 fans. Like, I mean, that's
yeah. I thought at least.
But don't you think don't you think that stadium would sell out for Raw, SmackDown, regardless of what show they put over there?
Yeah, because they have SmackDown Friday there as well. And to put a bow on it, I do agree. I think with both of you in a sense where if you're going to have it overseas, put it in the big stadiums where a bunch of people are going to go, because you know they're going to load that shit up when they only go there once every so often anyways. I mean, Puerto Rico was lit last year for Backlash. The one overseas during the summer, I think in Scotland, was lit. I mean, Saudi's always lit. You could have room for that. Tone's giving you the main event for Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Cody, I mean, he retains pretty easily, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, again, great.
Put do you expect a good there. Match? Do you think it'll be a 10 out of 10 after you watch it, or like a 6 or 7?
I think I'll put it in an 8 or 9. I think it'll be a fairly good match. I think it'll be pretty damn good. But, you know, I think AJ Styles does a good job. Great job, I should say, actually, of putting people over. He's done it with several stars in years past. So I think AJ Styles will continue doing so here. And I think Cody Rhodes will put another check mark on his resume of a very good superstar, and they're going to continue to build Cody Rhodes. He'll go into the Randy Orton thing and continue to rise from there. So I think it's a good match, but I think it's a predictable one and ends. I think it'll last a while. I'll say that.
And before you get out of here, and by the way, folks, if you listen to this podcast, just go over to YouTube or anywhere else where you get your content and type in Bucketeers with a T at the end, not Nears, Bucketeers, and go watch their show, as they have a a beautiful young woman doing Miami Dolphins coverage. And then they have Gene, of course, like I said, and J-Lo. Tones, I mean, last thing for you before you're out. People like anywhere from Brock Lesnar to Alexa Bliss to Uncle Howdy to Charlotte Flair to John Cena, who were spotted in France. Who do you think shows up? And whoever you choose to actually show up, what kind of role you think they might play?
Yeah, most likely candidate to show up, I would have to say probably Jacob Fatu, the other Uso. They signed him about a month or so ago. I think he's probably the most likely to show up, incorporate him in the bloodline. Not to say it's at a downtime right now, but they know they're going to be without The Rock and Roman for a while. They need to do all the shaking and baking. They need to keep things interesting for the bloodline. But my most intriguing, and the guy you can never rule out, because WWE always brings back the wily old vets over the pond, overseas, no matter where they may be. You can't rule out a guy like Brock Lesnar returning. And let's be honest, cancel culture tried to cancel him. He never got accused of doing anything necessarily as bad as, or nearly as bad as some of the other accusations going on over there. So I think this is a guy who deserves to be welcomed back with open arms in the company. I think he's a great benefit for the WWE, just a tremendous talent, a tremendous star. And, you know, I'm really sick of guys who, you know, come at guys like Lesnar and Jericho and be jagoffs online for no reason. And, you know, these guys are just wannabe jealous peons, and it's really a shame to you know, take some fake news and run with it nowadays. So Lesnar and Jericho definitely have a spot in wrestling to me, and I'll continue to root for both of these guys as long as they're in the world of wrestling.
And thank you, Tones, for joining and staying into overtime in a football analogy. We really appreciate you,
too. Yeah, sadly got to run now, guys. Prior obligations, but catch Bucketeers at BUCCATEERS. It's me
Go
and
Bucks.
Gene tonight. Yep, Gene's actually leading the way tonight. I probably won't make the entirety of the episode, but we do have a great lady from Dolphins Nation called Dolphin72 on Twitter. Go check her out on Twitter. But going to be an incredible episode, going to be a lot of fun as we help continue to grow the ladies in the sports. You know, I mean, I got my Angel Reese shirt on the way. I'm invested.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're done. Cleve, thank you, Tony.
Angel Reese. Angel Reese.
Bandwagon.
What the fuck, man? See, people like you are going to ruin – people like you are going to put a bullet in the WNBA. Guys like me are giving it a chance. Everybody, thank Tampa
Tone. 20 years. I'm not doing
thank
no
you,
more
everybody. Thank –
Nah, all right, get this guy out of here.
So we got to get the predictions moving. We can't keep them going much longer, but we tried
thank
to
you. End.
Cleve, we're going to go rapid fire on the first tag team matches. Winners of Randy and KO versus the Bloodline. Winners of Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca and Jade. But then on top of that, tell me where you see a more element of surprise being played in one of those two matches.
I'm trying to think of a. You said it was the. I think the.
Predict the winners first. Predict the winners
okay,
first.
Let's, yeah, let's pull up the card real quick. I just had it up, folks. In a second.
First I just fucking told you the matches. KO and Randy Orton versus the Bloodline for the third time. Let's try and comprehend right. that. Or. And, not or. And then the Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca and Jade.
All right, let's hit there. I'll give Bloodline a win. I think they need it right now, especially with Roman taking time off. You want to add some credibility to the Bloodline without Roman. And we know that in the past, Roman has been trying to build up Sokoa to potentially be the next guy up. So I think it would make more sense for Bloodline.
Is he the next guy up, or is he more of the Rock's bitch?
I still go next up for now. But like I said, with both Rock and Roman gone with it, we can see can Sokoa be a main event type star? Next match, Kabuki Warriors.
By the way, I'm going to go no on that.
You're going, who you got?
I think
winning?
I'm saying oh. I actually have Randy and Kevin winning, but I think Solo is not a main event star. He's a mid card to up pretty good tier for me.
That's fair. That's a fair.
I have no issue saying that. I'm not going to call their whole family elite just because they have The Rock and Roman.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he could be the potential next Umaga, how Umaga was, basically. Next,
does Jade and Bianca win, and then maybe that's the only title that turns over?
I want to say yes, but I don't know. This one has a 50-50 split to it just because Damage Control, even though they lost the championship, they were the top thing for the women's division on SmackDown. And I feel losing the belts will just kind of put them on the back burner. But at the same time, you can't have Jade and Bianca take losses, especially coming off the WrestleMania. So I'm going Jade and Bianca, but I'm really 50-50 on this match.
Honestly, that's why I'm mostly going with them. If you're going to build up Jade with that, she has an amazing entrance, unlike AJ Styles' new one. She should keep winning and build to the top. It keeps her and Bianca highly involved with title gold, so I'm going there. I don't really expect – I mean, now you could get Damage Control interference pretty easily, but I think they'll have Jade look like a freaking boss and take that home. Tone said Jacob Fatu joining the Bloodline there. Do you see that happening? Does Roman Reigns make an appearance? Do you see any other Bloodline members?
I did also see that he did sign with the WWE. And like I said, we just got the Tonga guy. So, I mean, why not keep adding people to it, especially at a pay-per-view like this where it's overseas, really get to talk about it and then, you know, see where it goes from there. But I do see
– Grow that Bloodline.
There you go. Without Roman. They have to see, can they run this without Roman and Usos being the – top names in the group, basically.
And I'm telling you, he'll be, and I love Cody, but he'll be just as big a face as Cody Rhodes when he comes back, because people are going to be salivating at the opportunity to get Roman back in the kingdom. The tribal chief. Moving on, Becky Naomi Stratton. You said this was your bathroom break match. That blows my mind a little bit, but is Bayley retaining?
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean in a disrespectful way or whatnot.
No, well, you did. Yeah, fuck it.
I'm sorry. It's going to be a solid match, but it's also, I mean, Bayley's going to win. Bayley just became the women's champion. She won the Rumble. She had a WrestleMania moment. Tiffany Stratus is the future of this division. I do think
she'll be world champion
within possibly later this year or next year.
Future money in the bank.
That's my Naomi is Naomi. She's a middle card. Nothing wrong with it at all. Same like with Tone's point out with Kevin Owens. It's been a lot of all-time greats like Rowdy Piper, Mr. Perfect, Ravish Rude, big names like that have never won the world's champion, but they were still looked at as legit stars. And I think that's just where Naomi falls, where she probably will get one more championship reign, but she's more there to eat the pinfall this match.
And Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, obviously, I think you're going to say Cody will win, but do you see this more as a 5 out of 10 match or a 10 out of 10 match?
This is definitely going to be a hell of a match. AJ Styles is arguably the best wrestler in WWE when it comes to really putting on a good show. Him and Seth Rollins are one of the two that comes to mind. Well, you know you're getting in the ring with AJ Styles. You know he's going to bring his best. Cody's going to retain, but this will still be a hell of a match. My question for you, Joe, is that AJ beat LA Knight to take this opportunity. Does LA Knight make an appearance?
Great question. I think it is possible. However, do we want Cody's second victory to be with help again? I think maybe after the match. And then they have their trilogy at Clash of the Castle in a stipulation match. So I think maybe after it's said and done, Ellen Knight gets involved, and then we have our because they're 1-1. We need to see who wins that. So I could see it, but I hope it's more after the match instead of during. I asked Tones this. I'm going to go to a page I'm on now. So I mentioned John Cena. He is in France. Charlotte Flair is in France and she's still recovering from injury. If you were to choose between Cena and Flair, who would you rather get involved? And outside of that, any possibilities? We've seen that Uncle Howdy videos keep coming out. Alexa Bliss and Rowan, who are with WWE, Rowan just recently resigned, could be a part of that. Brock Lesnar's still out there. Jacob Fatu, who Tones mentioned, where is your element of surprise coming from? And what would just be your favorite, even if not realistic, out of the people mentioned?
So I think it would be cool to see both Cena and Charlotte return. The only thing with Charlotte returning is that means she's close to recovering, and we know what that means. When Charlotte comes around, the belt's coming off somebody. So whether she goes Raw or SmackDown, somebody's giving that belt up. So I think I would prefer Cena just because Cena is getting toward the end of his career. SummerSlam's not too far away. We're in May now, 3 months away. You can easily build a story to where Cena has his final match at SummerSlam, possibly putting over another young talent. So I'm really looking forward to possibly something like that. I really want to know who Cena would feud with, but I think it would be just really cool to see Cena get his moment on the way out, actually.
Yeah, and I almost wouldn't mind if Cena helped out Randy and KO a little bit. If Jacob Fatu did come in, then it's kind of a 3-on-3 thing almost, and maybe you can go there. Cena's a big proponent of France. He wants them to have a WrestleMania one day. We shall see. Maybe he'll kind of be a host. There is SmackDown there. We shall see.
And then I know you mentioned the Uncle Howdy thing, and I thought that was real interesting. They just rehired, they signed back Rowan.
Dude, that video was creepy if you watched it, that Tone sent out.
You got Braun Strowman who just showed back up after how long he's been out? It's been a year. It has to be almost a year since we last seen Braun. We know Alexa Bliss had her baby about 2 years ago. We know fans been waiting on that return. And then you got Howdy. If you guys watched the Peacock documentary, I mean the documentary on Peacock, I watched it a couple nights ago. I didn't finish all of it, I'm not gonna lie, but it was, man, the first couple of minutes was just really, really sad and
It is. Who would you rather, and it's worth watching, who would you rather see, like if it's the Wyatt Six, Uncle Howdy, the faction? They were focused on, just Bray getting into his character. Where would you go? Would you have them go confuse Cody right away? Would you have Randy Orton, a possible guy, maybe get thrown out there? Where would you go in the direction of who they should attack first, or what the Judgment Day? I don't really know. What should Uncle Howdy and them be going after when they return, you think? Like, what would be a good story? Because if they're quote unquote heels, who would you want them to? Would it be an LA Knight? Would it be a, because LA Knight and Bray, they were the last feud. Would it be a Jey Uso who's a face guy? Would it be there's a lot of options. Where would you go with that?
The Randy one is intriguing because of Randy history with the Wyatt family, and you can easily
Did
play
they end
that
on
one.
very bad terms? Was that ended on bad
I
terms?
believe they Randy eventually broke away from it. I kind of was not watching too much of it at the time, but I've seen bits and matches from that time period. I mean, you could have them attack Jey Uso. That'll be some way. I mean, but the only problem is you put them on Raw, you still got Judgment Day. That's sort of their thing over there. SmackDown, I kind of would like it better for SmackDown because you have the Bloodline, but they don't have Roman right now. And it's really a leap to see what can Sokoa and these guys do without Roman. So I think you debut them on SmackDown and you can really try to get a feel and go from there. This would be Bo Dallas' first time being actually a main focus of a storyline. Yes, he was NXT champion, but we all know the difference between NXT and WWE. This is the big leagues. NXT is looked at the minor league. So this would be interesting to see what Bo Dallas does. Is Alexa Bliss still got ring rust? It's been a long time. She hasn't wrestled in a while, so she would probably have a little ring rust. It's just a lot of questions, but I would like SmackDown better for the Wyatt family when they returned in Raw.
When you leave this pay-per-view, again, this is quality over quantity. There's a lot of predictability, but usually surprises. Do you think you'll come away saying this is better than you expected or worse than you expected?
I think it'll just be me. I think
So
most of the time,
let's go a little bit. You'll say worse than expected. That's fine.
no, I would say kind of, I think it would be better than expected, but it'll be a 6 out of 10 just because they haven't really did great overseas shows besides the Clash at the Castle. That was a phenomenal one, but normally they overseas shows just don't hit the spot like they do here because most of the time the belts don't change hands overseas. It's been a few times where the WWE champion has changed hands overseas, but majority of the time they don't change hands over there. So it's really just a, and I hate to say the word, a glorified house show. That's just plain and simple what it is, Joe. We know Cody's not taking a loss, and we know Damian. I know we haven't really touched on the Damian match. I'll just give my prediction for that one right now. I think Damian retains, but I got a curveball for you, Joe. Jey Uso was just recently kicked out of, no, Jimmy. Jimmy was just kicked out of the Bloodline.
He's a little hurt right now.
Nah, he is actually hurt, and I kind of threw a wrinkle.
But he could still help out. Like, here, I wanted to say this on that match since we didn't hit it, and then we'll get out of here. I think Damian Priest puts on the best show of the weekend because a lot of people like him, but he needs to prove, even though he's going to be a shorter-term champion, I believe, that he could be there. So I think Damian versus – and Jey and Jimmy had a disappointing match at Mania. I think these two ball out and it ends up being the best match of the night. That's where I'm going to say that.
I think so too. And I also saw an article too on Bleacher Report where it makes a valid point where the WWE champion is held by Cody Rhodes, an established veteran. We all know who Cody is, right? Currently on Raw, you don't have that many big-name stars. What's going on Raw right now is a very interesting thing because they finally have a chance to build the wrestlers for tomorrow. New guys, fresh new face taking over the main event scene. You got Jey over there and you got Damian. Two guys that a couple years ago you probably would have never thought would be headlining a pay-per-view, but look at them now. So I think this is a real interesting experiment that Triple H and others have going on to see. Is Damian worthy of carrying the Raw brand, or is Jey Uso worthy of possibly being the star of the Raw brand someday? So I think it's a deeper meaning into this match also that WWE officials will be looking at too.
No, I'm here. I was just looking at someone as I'm arguing. I'm not a big Damian Lillard guy versus the public. That's just my random NBA note. Cleve, that your LeBum Lakers lost. Let's get out of here with this in a minute. Who is your NBA Finals winner? Do you think Boston finally gets over the edge? Does Denver repeat? Does Minnesota Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. the new Michael Jordan of this league? Who wins this?
I'm going to be honest. After watching what Boston did to the Heat last night, I think it's a no-brainer that Boston is favored to win the champion this year. Not going to knock Denver. Denver is still a hell of a team, Ray. But I think the Lakers, they lost, folks. They lost 4-1. It is what it is. But I think the Lakers sort of showed other teams that there is a way to beat Denver. And Lakers didn't get it done, but they played Minnesota next round. And Minnesota's younger than the Lakers. And I think they have bigger bodies to handle what Denver throws at them. So I think the Lakers laid the blueprint for possible teams to beat Denver this year.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for Minnesota and Indiana. I don't think either will win. If it's not Boston's year this year, it's never. That's what I agree.
Yeah.
So, and then the Phoenix Suns, you're the only team more embarrassing than Lakers. Do better. You had three top players, and you were still a sad sack of shit and got swept. For that being, Cleve, this is me. Remember, folks, Backlash and Frostway on Saturday at 1 Eastern, noon Central. Jean-Claude,
oui.
Au revoir.